His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Everyone together. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Please take a seat. You know the story of Jesus rising from the dead. And today I'm going to try to explain to you why you need the power of the resurrection in your life now. Jesus is never going to be touched again by death. He has conquered it. But we are in the midst of battle, in a spiritual battle that is in pitch right now. It's in pitch battle. It's the conflict and the clash of beliefs and ideologies. And it's not going to end until the end comes. So you need to understand the power that he has granted to you so that you can understand how to live in this world today. Let's read the Nicene Creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for mankind and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one universal and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I chose this expression of Christian belief as one of the nutshell expressions. There are others, the Apostles' Creeds, shortened versions, but this is the more expansive version that the church put together way, way, way back about 300 AD so that Christians could understand what is the nutshell, what is the basic belief system of Christendom. And there are many expressions of Christendom, obviously. There have been many denominations, many cultural churches and language churches that have developed over the centuries. But there is one common belief that must be for all churches or else they're not church at all. And I wanted all of us to say this together so that you could understand that the resurrection is not just some kind of an idea made up by man. This is something that God did and that you can have. Now, the resurrection is foundational to Christian faith. Foundational means that without it, there is no Christian faith. All other faiths that exist actually can exist without certain things. But without the resurrection of the founder of Christianity, then Christianity would actually be a false faith. But he rose. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote when he wrote to the Greek church in Corinth way back in ancient Greece, the land of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. He arrived as a Hebrew Christian and he began to preach to them. And he told them this, "What I received I passed on to you as of first importance." So the apostles all believe that this is the most important thing to be taught to Christians or anyone that wants to know what Christianity is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This was nothing done out of the blue. God promised this since the book of Genesis. Since the time when Adam and Eve fell into sin, he made a promise. And God does not renege on any of his promises. He was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared resurrected to Peter and then to the 12. After that, Jesus, appeared resurrected to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. So resurrection is foundational to Christian faith. Now, To deny the resurrection is to deny the Christian faith. There are many who actually look at Christianity simply as one of the philosophies or so-called great religions of the world. That is an error. Christianity is the only religion that was ordained and begun by God Himself. All other religions are man-made, begun by individuals or groups of individuals. Christianity was initiated by God Himself. And He began it before He created the very physical universe. Because the Bible proclaims this, before the creation of the world, Christ was crucified. So you and I are living out what God Himself ordained. Indeed, you exist right now because God ordained that you would exist. You should study this in the Scriptures. He has ordained the exact time and place that you should live, Paul the Apostle told the Athenians in Athens way, way back. He tells these Greeks again, he tells them this, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, if that's what we're all preaching to you, if that's what Peter's preaching, John is preaching, Paul is preaching, Peter, Paul, and Mary, everybody else, if they're all preaching this, how can some of you inside of the Christian church say there is no resurrection of the dead? How can you deny this? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching, our proclamation, our teaching is in vain. Vain means vacuous, empty, nothing. It's nothing. If Christ isn't alive, then we're all a bunch of charlatans. And you should not listen to us. Your faith would be in vain. All Christian faith, every church, every denomination, everything Christian that has ever been done would have been done for naught if Christ is not risen from the dead. To deny the resurrection is to deny Christian faith. You may say, I believe in God, but I don't know if I believe all that Christian stuff. I'm here to tell you that if you don't believe the resurrection, the Christian stuff, then you are not a Christian. You may be a theist, but you don't believe the foundational truths of Christian faith. So let's just be honest, okay? Resurrection power is the desire of a heart of faith. I've heard many individuals talk. I'm an aficionado of talk radio and people that write books, and I listen and I hear people who have doubts about faith. And one man that I listened to, he said, I don't know about any of this stuff. But I know this, that you can't explain faith with science. You can't explain faith by some kind of a classroom situation. It is something that you just have to have. Faith. Job, a man who lost all of his children, a man who lost all of his possessions. He lost everything he had in one fell swoop. Within 2 days, everything was gone. Everything he had lived for, everything that he had built was all gone, including his health at the end. It's the book of Job. Some say it's as old as the book of Genesis. He says this in the midst of all of his suffering after his wife told him, why don't you just die too so I can get a new husband? I mean, there was no insurance back then since he lost everything. If you're going to come to Grace, you better learn how to laugh because we tell a lot of jokes here. Laughter is good. The Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine to the heart. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's read it together. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the end He will stand upon the earth. Though my body be destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see my God. I myself will see Him with mine own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Resurrection power is the desire of a heart of faith. Do you have it? Do you have this desire that even when everything is lost, when nothing looks like it's going to have light, everything is bleak, you have this desire? This morning when I woke up, I understood something really interesting for me. I lost a son a year and a half ago, 22 years old, in a motorcycle accident just down the street right here, about 2 blocks away. I need the resurrection now more than I ever needed it before. And so will you. You will all face a tragedy one day when loved one will die, or you yourself will, unless you think that you're exempt. Is there anyone in here exempt? I want to talk to you so I can invest in your stock. Resurrection power is actually totally credible. Totally, man. Totally credible. I lived in California. Totally, dude. It's totally. I'm not from California, but I went there. I had to learn the lingo. Now lingo is changing so much. Anyway, resurrection power is totally credible. It is not incredible. In Spanish, we say, no es increíble. It is believable. You can believe resurrection. Now, I used to preach that we're not preaching reincarnation, because Hinduism preaches that, that you come back in some other life form. I'm here to tell you that Christianity actually is a reincarnation, because the word reincarnate means to be made, put back into carne, that's the Spanish word for flesh, to be put back into flesh again. And the Bible teaches that all people, believer or not, are going to be put back into their bodies, a resurrection body that will never die, and that they will be reincarnated in that sense. They will be put into resurrection bodies. So in a way, Christianity trumps Hinduism that way, because you're not going to come back as a butterfly. The butterflies don't want you. Even the worms wouldn't want to be you. Ask them. You should read the Bible. There's this guy, he's riding on a donkey, and the donkey starts talking to him. If you could talk to the animals, they would probably tell you, you ought to believe in God. Every morning I wake up and I hear the birds and I think to myself, they're saying, believe in God, believe in God. I stand here on trial, says the Apostle Paul, in front of the Sanhedrin, the very council, Jewish council that put Jesus Christ to death. And he's on trial for one thing, because he preaches and teaches the resurrection. I stand here on trial because I have a hope in the promise made by God to our forefathers. This is our culture, all the way back to Adam and Eve and Abraham and Noah. We've believed this. Why is it that we're so ashamed in our culture, in our Western world, of what we have believed for thousands of years? Why do we think that we have to throw it all away? What do you want? ISIS? Ladies, do you want to dress in burqas? Better start figuring out how to make them look nice. They don't look nice. I don't like looking at just a woman's eyes only. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm in trouble. Hey, who's recording this? Delete that one. I stand here on trial. Let me get back to seriousness. I told you we laugh. I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our forefathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. It is for this hope, the hope of resurrection, that I am accused. Why is it thought incredible to any of you, my leadership? Why do you think that this is incredible that God should raise the dead? If he took dust in Genesis chapter 1, if he took dust and formed it into a human body, DNA and everything, and then it says one thing that science will never replicate. He breathed into him the breath of life, it says in Genesis. And then what does it say? And he became a living soul. A living soul. Your soul proceeds from God. It is not produced in a scientific laboratory under a microscope, even if they can replicate DNA, which they cannot. Resurrection power is totally credible. Now, resurrection power is basic Christian doctrine. I already said that, but I'm reiterating it because one of the laws of teaching is repetition. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, and eventually, bing, the light goes on. Remember algebra? You remember chemistry? I can't get it, I can't get it. Then, bing, the light goes on. Remember that? Some of you are still in school. Some of the young people, they still haven't got it, right? That's because you're playing too much with your smartphones. Good. Google's not going to show it to you. Do you know why you have a smartphone, kids, teenagers? Do you know why? Somebody studied algebra, physics, chemistry. That's why. So if you want to know that stuff, you better start doing some studying. I was joking with somebody whose kid was playing one of the Boom Beach. I like Boom Beach. But anyway, and he was playing something, Clash of Titans, I think it was. And I told him, I don't like that one too much. And, we'll make him put it away. I go, no, don't worry. He's going to become a multimillionaire. He'll support all of us. Right. Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Elementary, ABC. Remember that old Michael Jackson song, ABC? Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. What are they? And go on to maturity. God wants you to mature. It would be awful if somebody stayed a baby all their life, wouldn't it? I mean, this baby over here is really cute, and so is that one over there. Okay, really cute. He smiled at me. But for now, she smiles at me. One day she'll scowl at me. If we stayed babies all our life and never went on to maturity, it would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? He says, here are the basic doctrines, the laying of foundation of repentance for sin. That's one of the basic doctrines. Have you ever studied repentance of sin? Do you know what it means even? Do you even know what sin means? You're living in a culture right now that says that nothing is wrong, that there is no moral standard, that there's everything is right and whatever you choose to do is okay. Did you know that the Bible does not teach that? Did you know that the Bible says that certain things are actually morally wrong? They're repulsive to the God who created us. And if you don't know that and you're practicing something that's against what he says, then that's why you're having trouble in life. You need to understand repentance of sin. Faith in God. Do you understand what faith in God is? Is it scientific? No. Is it something that you just catch? No. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to listen to Bible teaching. You need to go to Bible church, Bible study. You've got to get yourself into this book. And if you don't like books, put it on your smartphone. I just talked to a gentleman who has it on his smartphone. What's the name of that app?
It's the Gideon app.
The Gideon app. So look it up. Google Gideon and get the app, or download Bible.is, and there you've got it. It'll read it to you. It's really cool. What about faith in God? What about instructions of baptisms and the laying on of hands? What about the resurrection of the dead? And what about eternal judgment? One time there was this man that Paul the Apostle was preaching to, and he happened to be a king. He was preaching about the judgment of the dead, the eternal judgment. And you know what it says? He got scared, and he said, I'll listen to you another time. And he sent Paul away. Eternal judgment. Does that scare you? It should. It is meant to sober you up. So certain things are meant to sober you up. When I was a kid, I remember they used to to our classrooms, individuals who had got themselves into big messes, like drug addicts, or somebody that had crashed and hurt somebody or was all messed up because of that. And it was an eye-opener for a young person to see it. In other words, if you do what I did, this is what's going to happen to you. So when you study eternal judgment, it sobers you up. It's like, wow, I think I'll stay away from that. How many times do you have to see somebody, you know, fly off of a cliff and smash on the bottom before you realize that jumping off cliffs is not a good idea, right? I'm using an extreme example there. Obviously, you learn that gravity has, it's a law, right? What goes up must come down, right? So you're not going to go jump off of the gorge unless you're willing to end it all, which is self-murder, which is a sin. Did you know that? And if you self-murder yourself and you end up in front of the Almighty God, what are you going to tell him? I murdered myself, God. And he's going to say, why'd you do that? He's God after all, right? He doesn't want you to kill yourself. He wants you to live. Life is cool. All right. Now, Jesus Christ, the Lord, preached about resurrection power. When he taught, this was one of his main topics, resurrection. Look what he says here. As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Do you want life? Go to the Son. Not the Son out there, the Son of God. This is the will. That's why I don't even like sunrise services, because we're talking about worshiping the Son, not the Son. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Do you want to be raised up on the last day? Jesus answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I, Jesus, will raise him up on the last day. Jesus Christ preached about resurrection power. But it wasn't just theoretical to him. It wasn't just something that he wanted you to know up here. He shows it. He demonstrated resurrection power. He took her by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha koum, which is an Aramaic phrase for little girl, get up. And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. That's a resurrection. Here's another one. A dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. That was her only hope for somebody taking care of her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Now, a lot of you may think, where's God when tragedy strikes? Where's God when things go wrong? And I'm here to tell you that he's right there. When I lost my son, I found something really amazing, that the faith that he gives to us is bulletproof, bombproof, and everything else proof. It's real. He's there. Even in the midst of tragedy and loss, God is there. Don't cry. And he went up to her and touched the coffin. And he carried, those carrying it stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that. Josiah, get up, and he gives him back to me. I'm waiting for that. Everyone will experience resurrection power. Everyone, whether you believe in it or not. Right. See, unlike all other faiths, they say, if you don't believe, that's okay. Christianity says, whether you believe in what is being taught and said and proclaimed by Christianity or not, you're going to experience the power of it. Watch this. Jesus again. These are not my words. These are his. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear my voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And you're thinking, oh man, I got a lot of evil in my life. Precisely. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what's the good he's talking about? Well, the answer is in that particular book, John. They asked him, Jesus, what good does God want us to do? Everybody tells us, do this, do this, do this, don't do that. The religious leaders, they have this whole list of do's and don'ts. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. We're confused. What do we do? And you know what Jesus said? Something really succinct. I made a banner out of it. It's over here on my left. You probably can't see it over there. It says this. God wants you to believe in the one that he has sent. That's Jesus. Why? You don't have enough righteousness to be righteous before God. So God wants to give to you righteousness that is not from you and gift it to you from Jesus. And he's going to take away your dirty stuff, your dirty laundry. In other words, nice way of saying your sin. And he's going to put it on Jesus. That's what happened when he died on the cross. God transferred the sin of mankind to his son. And that's why Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment in time and in history, the Son of God became sin itself. Your sin was put onto him. So there is nothing prohibiting you from coming to God now. You say, I have to be good. You're not good enough. I have to be a nicer person. You're not nice enough. He takes you the way you are, full of sin, all filthy and dirty. And like that song we showed at the beginning, he lifts you up. He takes you away from the condemners and the ones that want you dead, and he lifts you up, and he does not condemn you. He asks the woman, woman, where are those who were accusing you? He goes, sir, they have gone. Then neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due to him or her. By the way, just because it says him in the Bible, ladies, it's not being sexist. It infers, it's an inference, him and her, for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So everyone will experience resurrection power. You don't believe me? It doesn't matter if you don't believe me. I'm going to just read to you the Bible. Here's the resurrection of believers. This is what the Bible says about that. The Lord Jesus himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel. Who's the archangel? Well, there's only two named, Michael and Gabriel. And with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them, and in the clouds meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I'm looking forward to that. The great reunion of the family of faith, of the people that have faith in God, where we'll never be separated again, we'll never be tragically taken from one another again. That's the resurrection of believers. It's great encouragement. I was talking to Dan Keyes back here. His wife died of ALS recently. And I said, what do you think? We're singing Jesus Messiah. And I was thinking, what do you think they're doing in heaven, I wonder? Is this all the time? Are they doing this all the time? He says, yeah, probably. Going to be fun, isn't it? Here's the resurrection of non-believers. What about the atheists and the people that don't believe at all? Well, they get to have resurrection too. Here it is. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The throne is God's throne. And the books were opened. Pretty sober, right? Books. And another book was opened, the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Have you ever gone to court and the judge has a file and they've got all this pile of files and they start opening them up, right? Everybody has their own file, right? And in your file, section 222, blah, 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 blah. How do you plead? Guilty. No contest, same thing. That's what they tell you. Say, how do you know? Because I go to a lot of courts with a lot of people. I do. And it's just amazing to me to see how many people get themselves in trouble. Because we're sinful. That's why Jesus came. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each person was judged according to what they had done. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. God destroys death itself. The lake of fire, look what it says. The lake of fire is what? Second death. First death is easy. It is. It's just the removal of your spirit from your physical body. That's easy. Second death is worse. Because look what it says here next. If anyone's, let's read it together. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. Oh, I don't like hearing that. I don't believe in that. So many, even Christian groups, even so-called Christian groups, have denied the reality of hell that they say, oh, it's metaphorical. It doesn't really exist. Really? If it doesn't exist, then go do whatever you want. If it exists, then you better get it right because you don't want to go there because you can't get out of there. Okay? Because the Bible teaches this. You'll be in a resurrection body. You'll know who you are. You'll know why you're there. Why? Their name was not in the book of life. So the only question is what? How do I know my name's in the book of life? How? There's one way. One way. The resurrection of Jesus is God's proof to an unbelieving world. The world always says, if there's a God, then why doesn't he? If there's a God, then why doesn't he? Well, there is a God, and he did do something. He resurrected his son from the dead. Look what Paul the Apostle said to the Athenians, where Socrates and Plato and Aristotle were. We should not think that the divine being God is like gold or silver or stone, an idol made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. It's ignorance to worship falsely. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is ignorance. It's better to know. But now he, God, commands all people, in that word phrase, all people, all ethnos, all language groups, culture groups. It's not just for one group of people. It's for all peoples everywhere to repent. Oh, what's repent mean? It's a military term about haste. Those of you who are in the army, about peace. Remember that one? That was a cool one. A bunch of guys and gals standing together, about peace. And it's a really cool command because it makes you turn the other way and go the other way. God is just saying about face because you're marching towards sin and hell, and he says about face, and you come around and come back to him. Pretty easy. Oh, it doesn't sound too complex. Oh, there's a lot in it, man. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. They're talking about the appointment of a Supreme Court justice. Did you know that God appointed somebody who is the supreme judge of all people forever? His name is Jesus. He has given proof of this to all men. How? I'm going to appoint this man Supreme Court justice of the whole universe. And I've given proof to this by resurrecting him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, yeah, right, you Christians. But others said, we want to hear you again. Are you a sneerer? Yeah. Is that the way you are? Is that the way you look at God and life? I feel sorry for you because you need to surrender and stop all of the criticism of God. After all, he's your best friend. God wants you to experience the resurrection now, right now, okay? Let's read this together. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted when Christ, when he raised him from the dead. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is the power that's available to you now. Incomparably great power. A lot of us look for all kinds of counselors and this and that to solve our problems. There is a power that is not of this world. It is the power of resurrection available to any who would believe. You can have it. Do you want it? You need the power of spiritual resurrection. Because we're spiritually dead. The Bible teaches this. You must be born again. You're born without faith in God. You need to have faith in God. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It's a promise from Jesus, not from man, not from a church, not from a denomination. It's a promise from the man named Jesus. And will not be condemned. That is, you will not be damned. You will not be cast into the lake of fire if you believe. He has crossed over from death to life. Have you? Or are you still in death? I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come since Jesus came when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And let's read this together. Those who hear will live. Many in this room have already heard and they are living. They are living right now. They don't do it perfectly. They stumble, they make mistakes, but they're living because the resurrection power of God took them out of disbelief into belief and faith. Are you an unbelieving, faithless person? Then you need resurrection power. Let's read this together. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. One question only here. Have you confessed with your mouth? Have you asked him to come into your heart? We're going to pray this together. Everybody just close your eyes. All of us are going to pray it, even though many of you have already asked Christ into your life. I don't want anyone to feel singled out. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I accept what you've done on the cross for me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Fill me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's stand together and we're going to read this last thing, all of us together. As the praise band comes up and as the children are going to have a song for us here in a minute, I think. Let's read this together. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, written by a man who wrote one-third or more of the New Testament. Did you know that? Yeah. If you're a believer, you need to continue to have this desire in your heart.